story is a pivotal part of our faith. Each gospel writer has their own account of Jesus' resurrection, each with their own important differences. This year, we explore Luke's version, reading from Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning to the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
If you were to visit the Church of All Nations in Jerusalem amidst a Holy Land tour, you would be right adjacent to the Garden of Gethsemane, that holy place on the last where Jesus prayed, that place where he was betrayed with a holy kiss, a place where they arrested him and took him away. And as you enter into that church, you would see in the entrance point a sign. The sign says, "No explanations inside the church." They say that that sign was placed there to discourage these talkative tour guides from wandering through with their massive tour groups, disturbing the ambiance of this prayerful setting of the church. No explanations inside church. Perhaps that is good advice for us as we gather on a mysterious day that we call Easter. No explanations inside the church. Perhaps we wonder if explanations are even wise, or if explanations are even possible on such a day of profound mystery and depth. There is, of course, an immediate problem for all of us, because that is what we modern-day people like to do. We like to explain things. We like to unpack them and untangle them and think that we fully understand them, don't we? Ever since the Enlightenment and the move towards modernist thinking and the scientific movement, we've kind of adopted this rational mindset. This rational mindset that thinks it can kind of explain absolutely everything. We have split the atom and cloned the sheep and mapped the human genome, and the list goes on and on and on. We have evolved to a point that we no longer see ourselves as part of the food chain and wonder if we even need God at all in the world. Wonder if we need God's mystery, God's grace, God's guidance. We have left the garden both metaphorically and figuratively, wondering if we have explained it all and even have a need for the mystery that is left. Yet here we are. Here we are dressed in our Sunday best. There we are, kind of in this confused haze of jelly bean and chocolate and sugar, trying to figure out the meaning and the depth of this empty tomb, the mystery of a tomb that is empty, devoid of a body, yet overflowing with the possibilities of new life for you and for I. The first witnesses were those brave women. Those brave women that lovingly had gone back to the tomb on the first day they were allowed, the day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week, today, Sunday, gone there to lovingly, properly prepare Jesus' body for a good burial. And there they meet a stone that has been removed, a tomb that is empty, and the unflowing possibilities of new life before them. The text reports that the women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. It's a shame in many ways about how that word has changed over the past little while, terrified, terrorism, because we have a very different understanding of that word today of late than they used to back then. Terrorism is now a word that is used, we think of those who will instilling fear in others by extremists. But in an earlier time, what terrified people was about living in that state of awe, living in that state of fear and uncertainty where everything did not make sense anymore, and they were in an absolute state of awe and uncertainty. They were terrified. The first witnesses did not understand what they saw. An empty tomb, a body gone. They had seen the death occur. In the face of religious elitism putting Jesus to death, in the face of the depths of human darkness and anger and violence, they had seen the heights of fear putting Jesus to death, and they met in all of that, they saw that even that was not powerful enough to leave Jesus to lay dead. All these forces opposing Jesus' way, yet there was no body left. No body left that would legitimate the power of those forces. Indeed, God's power would be even more in a transforming way of love. They found the empty tomb overflowing with possibilities of new life, and they were terrified, in awe, in wonder, in fear. Yet they still wanted to explain it, didn't they? They wanted to explain it and make sense of it. They raced home. They told the disciples. And what did the disciples say? Well, that's just an idle tale, as the text says, an idle tale told by confused women. We can't explain things, so we don't believe them. St. Thomas Aquinas offered some wonderful thinking to the church back in the 13th century and continuing to this day. He prophetically wrote, "To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. But to the one who has no faith, no explanation will ever be possible." I wonder if Easter is a time that we are not called to explain things, but rather it is a time to open ourselves up to the mysteries and the possibilities of God alive in the world today. That we are called to live into the Easter mystery that is available to us here and now. Mysteries are something that we continue to live with day in and day out if we really think about it. Easter Island, for example, is a place of mystery, 2,000 kilometers, I think, off of the coast of Chile. It's that place of those massive statues and the Rapa Nui people that live there. Scientists have been stumped for centuries, about three centuries they've been studying the people there. They say the inhabitants went there in the 13th century, at least that's how far back they can track them. These statues there are 10 meters approximately high. 74,000 kilograms in weight, they've been guesstimated at. Some of the recent theories trying to explain things, they've realized maybe why they settled there over time. It's because of these volcanic tubes that had crystallized over time, and fresh water had been flowing flowing through these tubes, and that's exactly the spot where these statues were erected. Theories abound, but they still have these deep mysteries of Easter Island continuing. I wonder if it's not really so much about explaining the mystery today as realizing mystery will always be a part of our human condition when lived deeply and lived well. I was leafing through an interesting journal a little while ago devoted to mystery. It's called Psychologies. It's a British journal from a psychological perspective, obviously. One article was written by an artist, John Newling, and he wrote this. He said, "Mystery is a predisposition to search, enjoy, and play and wonder, and it becomes lost when we seek to control it." Another article I found fascinating by a psychologist, Brenda Taylor, she wrote, "Mystery dispels the arrogance that we know where we're headed, keeps our minds open and our lives interesting." I wonder if the call in Easter is first and foremost for us to have faith. To have faith, to walk into the mystery and to be embraced with that holy gift. Wonder for you and for I what that empty tomb, that mysterious empty tomb would look like if we peer inside it this year right now. Because mystery is filled with power and when we truly, truly savor it and embrace it. I wonder about mystery all the time as your minister. I wonder what causes you all to unite and make this such a blessed community of faith. A community of faith that lives out the mission statement that we are called to embrace this community, the love of Christ. I see it every day in and day out. People welcoming, gathering for worship, growing in faith. I see fellowship opportunities where people gather together, and as they do that, Christ is found in their midst. I see people coming in, food, hungry in body and spirit, and being fed in ways they hadn't been imagined. I see people in need of clothing and other items, the ways we can care and connect with the larger community's needs. I see this community welcoming people near and far, as far away as last year was Syria, welcoming our Syrian refugee family, the Hamouds, blessing them and helping them a new beginning here in Canada. Maybe we don't need to explain the mystery. Maybe we need to live in the mystery and allow it to do its work. The mystery that a leaky roof can actually be fixed, hallelujah. The mystery that an aging building can be resurrected over and over and continue to be pumped into life. Mystery that people, you and you and you and all of us, can use our time, our talents, and our treasures and continue to allow the ministry to be offered in its very dimensions. I wonder for you where the mysteries are in your life. Where are these deep, rich, meaningful mysteries where new life is to be found for you? Sometimes new life is about time spent giving care, listening, loving, caring. Sometimes new life and mystery is about, it's about these kids, the sparkle that lights up in their eyes and somehow goes to you. It's how the mystery of new life is found in our elders, their care and their wisdom, teaching us that even this too that we deal with will pass. Sometimes the mystery of new life is about the music, sometimes in here, sometimes in our car, wherever we listen to it, that allows the angels to speak to us, that allows us to know God is with us. Sometimes the mystery of new life is about forgiveness, offered, received. Sometimes it's about grace being revealed and uncovered. Sometimes mystery is about the bedside. We're at the bedside of a loved one, and we pray together in life, in death, in life beyond death. We are not alone. God is with us, and knowing that God is with us there. Sometimes the mystery is about those last moments with a loved one, saying goodbye, those last words, watching the casket descend, sprinkling ashes into the earth, yet knowing that new life will continue to flourish even at that moment. Where's the mystery? Where's the new life? You. I've been following with interest a Facebook post in the community I live in. It's an open page, so anyone from the neighborhood can post their various needs and thoughts. You might post I need a recommendation for a good plumber, for example, or just a thought about the community's needs. One really caught my interest. It was a recently single woman. She had left an abusive relationship and she was starting again. She, on a very modest income, was needing to furnish a small apartment with furniture and all the things that go with it. She had left very quickly. As I read down to the bottom of the post, 40 strangers replied. 40. People offering their furniture they didn't to her, household items, all these different things to help her begin again and make a new beginning. I responded, I was the 41st, I think. I said, well, we have this, I'm at Northwood, we have this thrift store. I said, we sometimes get these bigger items that we can't house. If you let me know where your gaps are, we can keep an eye out, and if you needed a couch or a chair or something, I'd be happy to keep an eye open for you. She said, I think I'm okay. I'm shocked. I'm in awe. The kind of care, the kind of love that this community that don't even know me have offered. I think the thing with this text, the thing that I love about this text, is that it doesn't try and explain Easter. It invites us to live in the mystery of the empty tomb, to peer inside its emptiness and see how it's overflowing with possibilities. Because the mysteries of Easter are all around us and they're all inside us. Mystery has never been meant to be explained. So may we be like those wise women that were embraced by the mystery. May we be embraced by the mystery of Easter in our lives now and all the Easters we are given. Amen.